Once again, we'd like to turn to John chapter 9. Once again, we want to take our main thought from verse 11. And he answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus." And we'll stop there. Subject tonight it was Jesus, part two. Again, this ninth chapter contains the record of Jesus healing a man that had been blind from his birth. Most of the chapter is given to the discussion surrounding the event. There were several discussions that took place. There was a discussion amongst the people. Verses 8 and 9, "The neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, 'Is not this he that sat and begged?' Some said, 'This is he.' Others said, 'He is like him.'" So it caused a discussion amongst those who were familiar with this man. There was also a discussion between these people and the man who had been healed. The man in verse 9 said, "I am he." "Therefore," said they unto him. So they're talking back and forth. "How were thine eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash,' and I went and washed and I received sight." Then said they unto him, "Where is he?" That's almost a foolish question. I mean, the man's been born all his life. He doesn't even know where is. Where is he? And of course, he says, I know not. "Don't know. He told me to go to the pool of Siloam, and I did. I've come back, I'm seen, but he's not here." So in this discussion, he identifies himself as the one who had been blind, which led them to ask the question, "How were thine eyes opened?" His reply, "A man that is called Jesus." "Where is he?" "I know not." They then, in verse 13, brought him to the Pharisees. And a discussion ensued between the Pharisees and this man. We see that in verse 15. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. When the Lord works a miracle in your life, it's going to cause people to ask questions. Always does. Always does. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes. He could feel that. He didn't see him do it, but he could feel it. "And I washed and do see. Therefore," said some of the Pharisees, "this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day." Others said, "How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles?" There was a division among them. So the Pharisees are having a discussion amongst themselves. And then they say unto the blind man, verse 17 again, "What sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes?" And his answer, of course, is, "He is a prophet. He is a prophet." We read in verse 18, the first part of that verse, The Pharisees then began to question whether or not this man ever was blind. Verse 18, "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he'd been blind." What was he doing? Pretending? All these years? They then called the man's parents, which implies that he's a young man. We know he's older than 12 because he's of age. But they called the parents of him that had received the sight. This led to a discussion between the Pharisees and the man's parents. So you see, Jesus works a miracle, and everybody's talking. No different today. No different today. Verse 19, and they ask them, saying, talking to the parents, is this your son? Is this your son? Who ye say, again, who ye say, we're not so sure, but ye say he was born blind. How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. We don't know. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He's of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Those who have been the recipients of the Lord's miracles should speak for themselves. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. The reason they wouldn't say, yes, it was Jesus that opened his eyes, we have no doubt about that, is because they feared. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. Then in verse 24, they again call the blind man. In response to, he is of age, ask him. Then called they the man that was blind, again, that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, what he's saying is, I don't know much about him. But one thing I do know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Then they said unto him, again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. You would not hear. You didn't listen. Wherefore would you hear it again? If I tell you again, you're going to listen this time? Will ye also be his disciples? And they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple. We are Moses' disciples. And this continues on. So there's now a discussion between, for the second time, the Pharisees and this man, and it goes on down through verse 34. And then we see there was a discussion, well, in verses 24 through 34, they cast the man out of the temple. There was a discussion between Christ and the healed man. It was during that discussion that Jesus revealed himself to this man. And again, this would have been the first time that this man saw Jesus. And you can only imagine what he felt. And then the chapter closes with another discussion. Discussion between Christ and the Pharisees. And we see that in verse 40 and 41. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? And he said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. He says what he's telling them is, yes, you see with your physical eyes, but you're blind. So what you have here is you have a blind man seeing, and those who see are blind. And that is a picture today of those who are saved. They were blind, but now they see. Those who are unsaved, they see with their physical eyes, but they're blind. And from all of this, we see the fact, again, it's stated over and over, that Jesus miraculously healed this man. And when he did, it caused quite a stir amongst the religious, unsaved people. We're not talking about the outwardly wicked and abominable. This caused a stir amongst the religious, unsaved. And there's no doubt in my mind that it would cause quite a stir today in many churches if the Lord saved a soul. It would upset some things. This man knew that he was blind. His blindness was real. He also knew that he received sight. His sight was real. In verse 25, he again says, I don't know about all these things that you're saying about Jesus, but I know that whereas I was blind, now I see. That I know. Don't know all your theological terms. Don't know your philosophy. But I do know this. He changed me. And he did it. And every saved person knows that. They may not know anything else, but they know that. They know that a miraculous change had taken place. And this man knew beyond all doubt. There was no question in his mind that it was Jesus who saved his soul. That it was Jesus who worked the miracle. And he was not afraid to testify. His parents were, but a miracle wasn't worked in his parents' life. He was not afraid to testify, I was blind, but now I see, and it was Jesus that did it. John, like all the other gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, give eyewitness account of some of the miracles of Christ. John in particular directly attributes these miracles to Christ. It's as if John went out of his way to write so everyone knows, so there be no doubt that it is Jesus who did these miracles. He wrote in John 2, verse 11, concerning Jesus turning water into wine. He said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus. He could have just said, this is the beginning of miracles, but he didn't. He said, this beginning of miracles did Jesus. He says, I want you to know that it's Jesus who did this. In John 2:23, we read of many that saw the miracles, and John says, which he did. Doesn't just say many saw the miracles, that would be accurate, but many saw the miracles which he did. Nicodemus, speaking to Christ in John 3 verse 2, made reference to the miracles, he's speaking to Christ, that thou doest. The miracles that thou doest. The phrase, the miracle that Jesus did. The miracle that Jesus did occurs in John 4:54. In John chapter 6, verse 14. The miracle that Jesus did. That's me. That's you that are saved. The miracle that Jesus did. I am the miracle that Jesus did. You are the miracle that Jesus did. Again, he did it. Let there be no doubt. In John 6 and verse 2, reference is made to a great multitude that saw his miracles, but doesn't stop there, which he did. His miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Not only are miracles directly attributed to Jesus, but in John 15 and 24, it is said, which none other man did. That is, we're talking about something extraordinary. We're talking about something that no one else could do. But he did. And it's important that we realize a man called Jesus. As we said this morning, it's important that we realize that these miracles go beyond what is recorded. John 20 verse 30 makes that very plain, that there are miracles which are not written in this book. And John 21 verse 25, if they could be written, there's not enough books in the world that could hold the miracles which Jesus did. So John goes out of his way to make sure that we understand when it came to miracles, Jesus was the performer. Jesus did it. We need to always understand that. That needs to get a hold of us. And it seems to me that John was overwhelmed at the things that Jesus did. You just look in this room, and it ought to overwhelm us, the miracles that Jesus has done in lives. Just right here. And then if you take all the world, throughout the history of mankind, all the miracles that he did. John was an eyewitness account of many of those miracles. And he knew beyond any doubt it was Jesus. And that is confirmed throughout John chapter 9. The Pharisees even confirmed it, and they didn't even mean to. But it's confirmed throughout the 9th chapter that it was Jesus. Verse 17, the Pharisees asked, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? See right there, they admitted, he opened thine eyes. How opened he thine eyes? Verse 30, he opened mine eyes. It's confirmed. Not only did this man go from blindness to sight, but it was Jesus. And this great truth is declared all through the Gospels and throughout human history. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. People who knew us before we were saved and haven't seen us since then, if they saw us today, they would see a difference. And we could say it was Jesus. It was Jesus. Still is. Still is him. That's why we go to him. So let it be known far and wide. It was Jesus. Because of Jesus. That's why I can't stand the terminology, I got saved. It was Jesus. Tell who saved you. It was Jesus. He's the reason for the difference. We read in John chapter 5, verse 15. Remember that man who laid in the pools or the porches of Bethesda? He was crippled for 38 years. He told the Jews that it was Jesus who made him whole. It was Jesus. Acts chapter 4. Love what's recorded there. Peter and John. You remember they're going into the temple. Jesus heals a lame man. And now in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John and the lame man are standing before the Sanhedrin. In verse 10, Peter boldly declared that Sanhedrin was very upset, just like they're upset here in John chapter 9. What are they upset about? Because of what Jesus did. Peter declared, "Be it known unto you all." He says, "I want you to know this. Hear me clearly. And to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus, even by him," emphasis, this man that was lame, does stand before you whole. He's saying, look at him. You've known him to be a crippled, but look at him. He's not crippled. Why? It was Jesus. It was Jesus. And that's our hope today. You can have unsaved children, unsaved grandchildren, unsaved friends. Who saved you? Jesus. Who saved anybody that's ever been saved? Jesus. Who's going to save our lost loved ones if they're ever going to be saved? It is Jesus. There is no other. There is no other way. You think of all the miracles of grace. Again, John 4:54, John 6:14. The miracle that Jesus did. I mean, you can just go home and think about that for the rest of the night, and you'll have a good night. The miracle that Jesus did. That's me. That's you, if you're saved. We are the miracle that Jesus did. We are miraculous wonders, and it was him. It was Jesus. There are many such accounts all through the Word of God, all through the Gospels. Accounts of a people who experienced what this blind man said in John 9, verse 11. He's not blind then, but a man named Jesus. An innumerable multitude will be in heaven because of a man named Jesus. And we will fully understand that it was him. That it was him. Just consider some of those who experienced this in the Gospels. And do it chronologically. There's the nobleman. He had a son. His son becomes so terribly sick that it looks like he's going to die. He's at the point of death. In John chapter 4 and verse 47, one day this nobleman, whose son is dying, hears that Jesus was come into town. And it says that this nobleman went unto him, besought him that he would come down and heal his son. Verse 49, the nobleman saith unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." In other words, there is no other hope for him If you do not come, my son will die. Jesus, in a very assuring voice, said, go. He didn't stop there. He said, thy son liveth. Go, thy son liveth. This man leaving is an expression of his faith that what Jesus said is so. Go, thy son liveth. And as the nobleman made his way home, again, you can read this in John chapter 4, his servants met him. The nobleman's heading home. The servants are heading to tell the nobleman something. And they told him, thy son liveth. He's all better. And notice in John chapter 4, verses 52 and 53. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed his whole house. Was there any doubt in this nobleman's mind? It was Jesus. When he asked what time the fever left, and they told him, he knew that it was Jesus. And I believe every day from that point on, every time he looked at his son, he could think, it's because of Jesus. He wouldn't be here, but because of Jesus. We need to look at one another that way, that are saved. Because of Jesus, we're what we are. Think of the paralytic. We read of him in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. We've preached on him many times. He and his friends had heard that Jesus was in a house at Capernaum. And four of his friends or relatives, whoever, carried him on a pallet. And eventually they got to where Jesus was in that house. And we know the story. How with much effort they got into the house. And this man is lowered into the house on his pallet in the midst of the room right where Jesus was. And he's right before Jesus. And he heard the sweetest and most powerful words that he ever heard in his life. Jesus looked at him and he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And then he said, arise, get up, take up thy bed, and walk. When he arose from that pallet, he knew that it was Jesus who enabled him to get off that pallet. Go back to the day you were saved. You know who it was that saved you. No one could tell this man anything else. He knew. It was Jesus. And he walked all the way home, however far that was, carrying his pallet. And the Bible says he rejoiced all the way home. Who is he rejoicing in? Jesus. He knew that it was Jesus. I believe every day he got up from that point on, he knew that it was Jesus. Never was able to get up before. But he's now able to get up. He's now able to walk around his house. Don't forget who it was who saved your soul. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. There's the crippled man that we've already mentioned of 38 years. We read of him in John chapter 5. The Bible tells us that he sat in the porches of Bethesda. He sat amongst the weak and the disabled and the blind. For 38 years, he lived in a state of debilitation and decay. And one day, Jesus came to that place and he walked through, walked past a miserable crowd and came right to where this man was and asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?" And what did that man do? He began to tell his miserable story. Began to tell about his life, and he began to tell all the reasons he could not be whole, be made whole. No one would help him. In his mind, that's the reason. He could not be made whole. Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And as soon as Jesus said that, this man felt a strength in his legs that he had not felt in 38 years. And he walked. He not only walked, but he carried his bed. And it just so happened to be the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees see him walking around carrying his bed and they become infuriated. But the man said to them in verse 11, "He that made me whole." Did he not know who made him whole? "He that made me whole, the same said to me, 'Take up thy bed and walk.'" Said, "Just makes sense to me. He made me whole. I'll obey him." It's good logic. They wanted to know who it was. Who is it that made you whole? Who is it that told you to take up your bed and walk? And we've already seen verse 15. He says it was Jesus which had made him whole. He knew. He knew. We must not forget that it was Jesus. You won't have any trouble serving the Lord if you don't forget who it was that saved you. It was Jesus. There's the man with the withered hand. We read of him in Mark chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. His hand was all paralyzed. One day he's sitting in the synagogue, his hand is all shriveled and crippled. And Jesus walks into that synagogue. And very similar to what we read here in John chapter 9, he looked right at this man. And he said, and he spoke to him. He said, "Stand." That wasn't the man's problem. He could stand. Jesus said, "Stand." Jesus could see his problem. Jesus knew his problem, his hand. He said, "Stretch forth thine hand." Again, his hand is all crippled up. "Stretch forth thy hand." And as he did, that hand straightened out. The hand was made whole. Don't you think that man knew that it was Jesus who fixed his hand? And every day that he used that hand from that point on, he was reminded it was Jesus. Every time he would shake hands with another individual, he should have remembered it was Jesus who fixed his hand. Every time he worked with that hand, he could remember it was Jesus. Don't forget. Don't forget that it was Jesus. Think of the demon-possessed man of Gadara. Read of him in Mark chapter 5. One of my favorite accounts. Demon-possessed man. Man with a legion of devils. He lived amongst the tombs. The Bible says he cried day and night. And that he would gnash and hack himself with stones. He was naked. An absolute terror to everyone. People would try to bring him under control. They would bind him with chains. But he'd break loose. But one day, Jesus came to the coast of Gadara. And Jesus cast out the demons. Can you imagine what it must have felt like for 100 demons just to leave your body? And I believe he knew. It was Jesus. It was Jesus that set him free that day. Later on in the account, in verse 15, we see him sitting. He's no longer in the tombs, no longer cutting himself with stones, no longer screaming. He's sitting, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. And he's before Jesus. And he knows it was Jesus. It was Jesus. We see him later in verse 20, telling how great things Jesus had done for him. We can all do that. If we have experienced this man called Jesus, you can always tell what he did for you. We must not forget. There was the woman who was bent double, another one of my favorites. We read of her in Luke chapter 13. And this poor woman was bent double at the waist for 18 years. For 18 years, all she could see was the ground. Everything was difficult in her life. She made her way to the synagogue. And Jesus was teaching in that synagogue. And it is recorded that he saw her. As he's teaching, he saw her. Just like he saw this blind man. And it says that he called her. And she comes. She's bent double. Jesus says to her, "Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity." Her infirmity was her root problem. The infirmity is what caused her to be bent double. And then it says that he laid his hands upon her. Immediately, she was made straight. And don't you think that when that happened, she knew that it was Jesus? She knew. You couldn't tell her any different. She knew that it was Jesus. The Lord saved our souls. A lot of people said, "Oh, he'll get over it. He just got a little bit of religion. He'll get over it." No. It was Jesus. That's more than a little bit of religion. Religion won't save your soul. Jesus will. And every day that woman walked, She no longer walked bent over. She walked straight. And every day she should have thought, it was Jesus. It was Jesus that enabled me to walk straight. Don't forget who it was. There's the woman with the flow of blood. We read of her in Luke chapter 8. She was suffering from a disease that literally was draining her life away. She had suffered from this for 12 years. The account says that she spent everything she had upon doctors. But instead of getting better, she got worse. And she ran out of money. And one day she heard that Jesus had come to town. We know the story. She made her way to him and touched the hem of his garment. And as soon as she did that, her blood, her flow of blood was stopped. And 12 years of anguish and suffering, and because of Levitical law, 12 years of loneliness and heartache were taken away. All gone. And she knew. She knew that it was Jesus. In fact, there was another man standing there at the same time. Remember, Jesus was on the way to his house. His name was Jairus. He had a daughter that was 12 years old and she was dying. So he was encouraged. But Jesus did instantly what 12 years of doctors and expense could not do. We need to always remember that. It was Jesus. On and on we could go through the gospel accounts. But what you see is male and female of different backgrounds under a variety of circumstances. People healed. People rescued. People transformed. By a life fixer. And his name is Jesus. And I believe and you believe that he's still the life fixer. There are wrecked lives, there are ruined lives everywhere. Jesus can put them back together. And if it weren't for Jesus, our lives would be wrecked. And again, you don't have to drive far. All you got to do is get in your car and drive down the road into any town, and you see some pitiful sights. We can get self-righteous, or we can say, if it weren't for Jesus, that could be me. You think of the apostles. Think of all the numerous ways that they experienced the deliverance and sufficiency of Christ. The times that they were in storms and Jesus came and calmed the storm. They knew that it was Jesus. How many times has Jesus come into our storms and calmed the storm? How many times has he come into our storms and didn't calm the storms or calmed our hearts? And we knew it was Jesus. It was Jesus. We must not forget. I'm afraid some have. And throughout history, one day we'll see an innumerable multitude in heaven. Throughout history, there are people who have been rescued from enslaved, wasted, and broken lives. Rescued from the misery and the despair and the agony of the powers of hell. And it was Jesus And in heaven, everyone realizes it's him. It's him. And as we read there in Revelation chapter 5, he's worthy. He's worthy now. You don't have to get to heaven to realize he's worthy. All you have to do is remember it was Jesus who saved my soul. And with that realization, you realize he's worthy. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we've run out of time. We're almost done. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's us. We cannot inherit the kingdom of God in and of ourselves. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. What made the difference? Someone sat down and gave us a good talking to? No, that's not what made the difference. We repeated a prayer. Started going to church. No, that's not what brought us out of those things. It was Jesus. And we'd still be there if it weren't for him. He's made the difference. We must not forget that. How many times in our saved life we experience this man called Jesus? We experience him over and over and over. There are many things you and I would never get through were it not for him. Satan would have destroyed us, would have made ruins of our lives. My life is not in ruins today. Yours isn't either. Why? Jesus. The Lord gets the glory. We've all done plenty of stupid things that has ruined the lives of others. But here we are. It was Jesus. I'm glad that he is a reality in my life. I'm glad I can look at my life and say it was Jesus. He's made the difference. We must not forget a man called Jesus. How is it that you see? And where did this man begin? He began with Christ. A man called Jesus, made clay. That's where our story, that's where we must begin. Someone asks, you don't seem like the same person I knew 50 years ago. I'm not. Why? A man called Jesus. That's the reason. What other reason do you need tonight to serve the Lord? What other reason do you need tonight to pray for your loved ones? It's him. He can fix it. And if he doesn't fix it, I got news for you. It's not getting fixed. Because he's the only one who can. It was Jesus. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse of song.